Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Video Games to the Max. We're actually doing this during the daytime, so I'm actually awake. No, I'm joking. So, this is episode 294. I'm Sean Garmer. Here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And, well, we got quite a few things to talk about today. I thought it was going to be just Microsoft Stream and that's it, but the Game Award nominees got announced right before we were going to record. Not going to talk about all of them, so if you're an esports fan, I'm sorry we don't talk about that. Anyway, if you listen to, you know, we're not esports people. Not to dismiss that at all. That is a huge thing, and we actually have an esports podcast that also is on this feed. If you haven't noticed at this point, they do League of Legends, but I think he's talking about expanding to other things eventually. But anyway, we're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about the Microsoft Stream that they had, which was actually pretty nice. Being an Xbox aficionado person that's been there since the beginning, it was really cool to see. And then we will talk about some other things that have been going on, but let's talk about the games we have been playing. And Mark, you have started your journey with Shin Megami Tensei 5. Anything?
Yeah, after Best Buy originally tried to screw me.
They originally tried to screw you. How is that?
Well, I didn't get a pre-order. So, like, the night it went live or, like, released, I anticipated doing what I did with Metroid Dread, like, refreshing Best Buy's website endlessly until it goes on sale. And it did for, like, 2 minutes until it sold out. So I opted for, like, an in-store pickup at a location I was going to go, like, visit, or, you know, the next day. And then, like, went to bed. This was, like, at 1 a.m., by the way. Went to bed. Right. Got up at, like, 9, because I was going to, like, leave at 10 to go to the store, to, like, basically when it opened. At, like, 9:50, I got a text going, "We don't have it in stock. We may never have it in stock." Or I should say, they will never have it in stock. So that's cool.
That's nice. So, yeah. That's nice to know that.
Yeah.
You almost got, yeah.
And then Amazon was, like, flickering in and out. Like, it's, like, the second it goes on sale on Amazon, instantly done.
Right, yeah. I saw that later on that day, too, when you told me you had that edition. I was like, and you were saying, I think Jens wasn't awake for it.
Yeah, I was trying to frantically wake him up at, like, that night, but he, like, slept through it all.
Yeah.
So I basically had to end up paying a scalper. Like, when the thing was $120 originally. I paid, like, $180 for mine.
Jeez.
So it's a $60 markup. But I mean, like, A, I want that thing. And then B, like, there's okay. No.
So what's so special about having the.
I mean, it comes with a steelbook case. It comes with, like, this, like, small backpack looking thing that your character kind of wears or has, at least when in a human form.
Right.
Soundtracks, like a demon book. I mean, dumb, but I just like that game. Or, you know, I like that franchise, so, you know, why not?
Fair enough. I mean, you should definitely, if you can, always spend the most you can on your favorite franchise so you can let them know that you really enjoy that. Not that they need that. I'm sure they're, as you said, all the stuff was selling out, so it's not like they really needed...
Believe me, it was gone pretty much instantly. So, yeah, that game is weird. It's basically, it has the battle system. You play Tokyo Mirage Sessions, right?
Yes, I did, huh?
It is, like, the same, basic battle system, even down to, like, elemental, like, tip, or, you know, guy, like, quick guy that goes, like, oh, this demon is weak against force or strong against fire, which is helpful.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I'm only, like, 2 hours in. I didn't play a ton of it because I wanted to finish up that stupid Ender Lily's review first.
Okay.
That was my carrot and stick thing. So it's open world. I haven't gotten to any of the other land masses yet, or, you know, other areas. But it does not run well on the Switch.
That was reports that were coming out about that it did not look great at all in any of the trailers, other than when they're showing cinematics, which obviously that's different.
Yeah.
That sucks to hear. And you're playing it on the TV, right? You're not playing it
handheld. Yeah, I'm playing docked. Yeah. I mean, I imagine on the portable mode, it wouldn't be worse. The problem is, like, the game really wants you to run fast. Like, you have this, like, I wouldn't say dash, but, you know, you can really get going, and it's like the Switch cannot handle that too well. And it's to the point where, like, even after you complete a battle, you know, you have like a battle results screen, like, oh, you got 50 experience and stuff like that. Like, that doesn't run good. And it's like, what's going on? Like, it should. Like, it's just like a screen that's telling you, like, what you got. It's like the battle, battle transition from, like, battle to main, you know, back to the regular game.
Right.
The game, I mean, the art style looks really good. And I think, like, if it wasn't for this frame rate issue, it'd be a really good looking game. And
okay, even, so it's not that the game looks bad, it's not the graphics look bad, it's that it doesn't run well.
Yeah, it, like, literally is, like, hitching. It's not, like, the worst game. Because that'd probably be GTA, that remastered collection.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just has, like, weird inconsistencies. And it's like, this isn't running at 60 frames per second. This is barely running at, like, 30. Like, it, you know.
Okay. So, like, you told me you were only a few hours in. So, obviously, next week would be a bigger, you'd be able to talk more about the experience. But, like, so far, I mean, what have you done? Or
I mean, I just unlocked the Demon Compendium, like, Demon Fusion.
Okay.
Which I've not done yet. It's complicated. Like, this is way more complicated than, like, a Persona game.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's typically the thing of why they don't like to be compared to Persona, because there's a lot more intricacies.
Yeah. And it's funny, because it still has the same basic, at least at the very start, the same basic travel system as, like, Shin Megami Tensei 3. Like, it is like a flat map, and you're like a little dot on it going between like these two like subway tunnels. And like, this is hysterical, because like they did that back then because they had to, they had no other option, but
right
now they do, or they should.
If it's not broke, don't fix it thing.
Well, maybe it's like, we just don't want to make another system, or, you know, but yeah, no story, or like very little story so far, but that's the, you know.
Yeah.
The Shin Megami Tensei games aren't known for that, like the Persona games are. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have some kind of story, it's just not the...
It takes a lot longer to get going, and there's also like no social link stuff. Like the Shin Megami, I don't know about 4, I didn't play 4, but like, I think they are known primarily for being like very solo, or like story-light RPGs. Like, you don't have, like, a party of plucky young high schoolers, you know? It's, you got, like, one dude, and that's it.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean...
It's good. Like I said, it's almost slightly overwhelming, because there's how much stuff they kind of throw at you, at least initially. Like, you don't really have... One interesting thing is you don't have equipment in the game. You don't get, like, oh, I got a new weapon, or I got, like, a new sword. All your stuff is basically relegated to... You have, like, miracles, which are, like, passive upgrades. And you have to buy them with, I think it was like prayer points or something, or glory, I think that's actually it. And you get glory by like finding it just in the game world.
Ah.
So.
Oh, that's, I mean, has that been something that they've had in the series?
No, not at all. Okay. Like in the previous games, if you had like an inventory or like, you know, or accessories, stuff like that.
So, I mean, that sucks to hear that it doesn't run well, and I imagine someone like me or other people that like to play their game docked, that's not great news to hear at all.
I mean, you might notice it less because it's a obviously a smaller screen, so...
Right, that's maybe true. But, like you said, if it wants you to run fast and then it's kind of being slow, it's not...
It just kind of feels like you're in soup a lot of the time. And it's like, this should be faster, but it's not.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Well, Mark will definitely probably have more thoughts as he gets further into the game by next week.
Yeah.
Anything else besides Zen Release that you've been
playing? Thankfully, no. I finished that disaster. Okay. So.
Finished that disaster. Okay.
It's a bummer. Like, I finished my review, and I was reading other people's reviews, and they're just way higher on it than I am. I'm just, wow, okay.
Like, is it something that they just liked that you didn't, or was
it just clicked with them better. Like, it just didn't click with me at all. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you're being honest. For you, it didn't work. So, I mean, it's not like you can really do much about that. You
know? Right. That's about it for me. How about you?
So, I beat Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. I like that it does, like, false ending to the joke. So, you know, you'll be prepared for that if you play it. Still, I really enjoyed that. The whole, just being able to get through it and everything, it really is going to be high up on my list for game of the year. I don't know if it is my game of the year, quite, but it's going to be really high up there for sure. I just really enjoyed that game. I love the characters. When you finally get to their moments where they finally like say their piece about what they've been holding back and all that stuff, like it really turns it into, you do definitely feel like they become a team. Like that's the best part of it is at the beginning, you know, they're like a bunch of different people all together, a bunch of individuals all together. And then by the time you get to the later chapters, they really, you start feeling that cohesion and that making the jokes, like they know each other and everything else. And it's, it like brings you in on the fun, you know, and then you also have other cameo moments as well from other characters and things like that. So that's nice too. So there is a chance that they could, maybe make a second one. I don't know. If it does well, like it seems like it is going to, and we'll talk about the awards and everything else. Let's say, you know, it does well there. Perhaps that will behoove Square Enix, push for it. Now let's see when we talk about the MPD, because we know Square Enix has wonderful history with their Western, titles. If they don't do super well, they start talking some crap about the developer or the game or whatever. So, we'll see. How that goes as far as Marvels is concerned. But seriously, I would definitely invest in it and go get it if you're any kind of a Marvel's Guardians fan or Guardians fan of the comics or anything like that. I think you're going to have a lot to enjoy there. And also with some of the news, what we're talking about with Black Friday deals, this thing's already going on a major sale. So if you're waiting for that sale, it's happening.
That's when I may pick it up.
Yeah. So, yeah. Definitely, yeah, I would pick it up if you could. So, aside from that, I've gotten back into Eastward again. I was looking for something to play, especially because I need to get some thoughts out on it and everything for the site. And I've gotten way further in. I'm in like chapter 3, almost chapter 4, and the story has really definitely picked up. And you can kind of tell where they're going, what they're going for there. And it's I'm really enjoying it a lot more that I've gotten more into it, and that camaraderie between John and Sam and how their relationship is concerned. There's a really key moment where you've had to be separated from each other. You're there, but you're having to like move each one of them individually to complete puzzles. And then you come out of the dungeon that you're in, and then she gives him a big hug and she's so happy to see him. And it's just like those like cool moments of, oh wow, she, you know, she's accepted him. And it's not her dad or whatever. It's someone that's taking care of her, and like to see how they get along and everything. And some of the other characters that you meet along the way, I think there's still at least 3 or 4 chapters of the game. But for the most part, enjoying that, and then just enjoying the gameplay, which I think I mentioned before, is very Zelda. You have even the little hearts like Zelda, where if you go through certain areas, it just automatically bumps a heart for you. You know, there's the gameplay that's very much the same way. I did get a second weapon now that's like a gun, so you can blast things instead of just hitting stuff with a frying pan, but there is resource management as well, so you have to think about it that way. But the thing I do like is that it never makes you feel like, oh my god, now I have to go and reset everything. If you don't have enough bombs, you can go back to the previous screen and the bombs will come back up again, and you can just get them there instead of having to reset your entire game or whatever. So I just thought that was really well done by the team there. And the soundtrack is also very, very, very good. Really makes me think about those old SNES games, where it's obviously they're pulled from Earthbound and the like. So sad to see that, you know, this game didn't get nominated for either one of its categories, but definitely soundtrack. When we're talking about some of the best soundtracks of the year, this would definitely be in it. Oh, that's kind of it for me. Those two games. I've been playing a little bit of Unpacking, but that, I think I explained that before. It's just a nice little, when you want to kind of unwind and have moments to just, all right, let me just, I've gotten to the third, I forgot which year you're in. But now you've gone out of college, you've graduated to college, and you have your own house for the first time. So, like, it goes from you're a kid and you have your own room for the first time to you're in college and then you get your first house, and you actually have to go from, oh, you only have one room, to, oh, I have to actually decorate or unpack the bathroom and the kitchen, to then, oh man, now I gotta unpack a whole freaking house. And so it's interesting when it gets to that point. I had Anaya play, and she really liked it, the first two sections. We're both in the same, the one that sucks is you can't have two different people. You have to, I have to make her a profile for herself, to be able to have like her own save. Cause if not, we're both working on the same one. Then we have to basically restart each one's thing, or each one's, puzzle every time we do it. But it's an enjoyable game that, I feel like has gotten some love, and that's nice. But all right, moving on from the games to the game awards. The nominees are out. And obviously, look, this is the Oscars of video games. This is the Golden Globes of video games, right? Like, everybody's going to have, we're going to have our own video game of the year awards. Where everybody's going to have their own award. It doesn't mean that this is the end all be all of awards, but obviously it's important because this is the one that the video game industry sees as the official one, or the one that gets the most plaudits, or you want it to eventually be the biggest one, or whatever, you know.
Well, it's only the Oscars until G4 comes back and they have G4ia.
Yeah. let's see. They did announce some of that. Nice to see Kevin Pereira back for Attack of the Show, along with, you know, it did need some new blood. You don't need to just be bringing back a bunch of old folks. Like, have Adam Sessler. I'm surprised that Morgan Webb didn't want to come back.
I'm not. She has a real job, and also, like, I think she didn't seem to, like, really want to be in the limelight, like, necessarily.
Well, she was doing stuff for Xbox for a while.
Yeah, I mean, she still is at, I think, Microsoft, but I mean, like, you know, she's also older, and probably doesn't want to have to deal with that crap anymore.
Well, I mean, we saw this on, oh, man, why did I forget her name now? But the, man, this is going to sound terrible. But one of the people that they showed off on the Xbox anniversary, she was actually in that first year of G4, and she was on one of those shows, and then you didn't see her come back. But it was cool to see that some of these people that, you know, we saw in that first year of G4 have gone on to do other things, like Morgan Webb. And like, so that's good to see. But we'll get to the Microsoft thing in a little bit here. So Game Awards, I'm not going to go through all the, there was some stuff that we don't really talk about much here that I didn't write down. At the time that I had wrote these down, they literally had finished streaming it like 5 minutes ago. So there's probably an article now that has everything all tidy in a bow, but I had to actually write these out myself. So this is what we're going to talk about here. The esports stuff, content creator stuff, not talking about that. So if you care about those kind of things, you can go find the list and look at those yourself. So let's start here. Some of these I feel like it's fine. Some of these I feel like you got some big snubs. So it'll be interesting to see on this. But Art Direction, Deathloop, Kena, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, and The Artful Escape. Who do you think is gonna win, and who would you like to see win?
I think Kena might win it just overall. I would kind of like Deathloop, or maybe Psychonauts 2. Although, yeah. Psychonauts 2 did bug me because like some of the game is almost like too colorful in a sense. Like you can't see the figments that well. Like you couldn't initially.
Yeah, there was times where you couldn't. Yeah.
So I'd like to see Deathloop personally, but you're probably Bridge of Spirits.
I wouldn't be surprised if Deathloop wins, honestly. I would love to see The Artful Escape win just because of how different it is. It's goofy and has a lot of life to it. And what it talks about, and just in the like all the different aliens and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was just very cool looking. And if there's anything that's great about The Artful Escape, it's its graphics and the way that all the colors come together and everything in a different way than Psychonauts 2. But I just think it looks great. And Psychonauts as well. I think Deathloop's going to win this. Wouldn't be surprised if Kena, considering how many times we're going to talk about Deathloop, I wouldn't be surprised if it wins other ancillary categories, and Art Direction being one of them, because it is very well done, the Art Direction, you know, especially when they go back to like that 70s look or whatever for some of these like narrative moments with the bad dudes are, like 8 or 7 terrible people or whatever they call them. They have a name for them, right?
On Deathloop, yeah, they're like the, I forget the name, but yeah, they're like the heads of the island or whatever.
Right. So best score in music, Cyberpunk 2077. I think it's the only one where I'm kind of okay with that, because I've heard that the soundtrack is pretty great. I don't know. Jens is not on here to really grade that.
Well, I mean, he'd probably say, I mean, he, of this list, he'd probably say Nier.
Yeah, of course. Of course. He
I might say Nier also. Like, I remember the music in Cyberpunk being, like, bland, and also, like, the one time, like, the rocking song when you're having, like, first person sex was, like, hysterically awkward.
Oh, wow. That's bad.
You are, like, reliving a memory of Keanu Reeves' character, and you're, like, this, like, rock song is playing, and you're like, doing these, like, flashing between different scenes of him having, like, sex with this woman, but it's first person, and it's, like, so embarrassing. Like, holy Christ.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like that might be the only category that I feel like is okay for it to be.
See, I'll probably say this a lot, but I would actually like Tales of Arise for this one.
Oh, no, I agree. There are other, this is where I'm at with this, is like, some of the, it's hard to say no to Nier or Marvels, I feel like, when you're including.
The only one I would say this is, it's awkward, and it's because, I mean, I haven't played it, so I guess I can't really tell, say, but like, Guardians of the Galaxy is like a weird pick, because like, isn't that a lot of licensed stuff?
Yeah, but that counts as part of your.
Well, that's like the weird thing to me. It's like, this should be like best score and then have like a best soundtrack. I mean, if it's like best soundtrack, it might win, but I just don't know how much score is in that game. I guess I can't. That's the one I can't really judge.
And I'm sorry if you were hearing somebody cooking here next to me. I tried to turn on the noise canceling thing now, so hopefully you're not hearing it as much. But anyway, like, it's different. Like, I think that's the thing, is they combined it this year. I think it's I don't know if it was a lazy choice, or they wanted to cut some awards, or
they probably don't want to. I mean, there might not be a lot of games with a good soundtrack.
No. I don't want to hear about there's not a lot of games with good soundtracks. There are a lot of games that had really good soundtracks.
Well, good, like,
they just don't have a lot of great games that have licensed soundtracks. But that's the thing, though. It's score, and it's music. So there are different parts of that, like, right? Like, some of these have music and some of them have scores, and not every game has a score, but it has music, you know? So, and some of them have both, and that's the thing, though. That's why Marvel is here, is because it has both. It has a really good score when it's not the licensed music, because you hear the score a lot more than you hear the music. The music you're only going to hear during certain parts, and the only time you hear it when you're actually playing and it's magnified is during that, where you gotta do the huddle, and it blasts it like you're watching the movie. The other times that it's there, it's like underneath. You're not hearing it that much. So,
yeah. I mean, what would you like?
It's almost like saying, oh, I can put Spotify on when I play Forza, and it makes the game sound better. It's almost kind of like that, really. But the score is really good for Marvel. I mean, honestly, for me, I wouldn't pick any of the ones here, not that they don't have good soundtracks. I mean, obviously, Nier has a really good one. I thought Marvel's was a really good one. The Artful Escape has a really good one. But for me, Tales of Arise was better. For me, Eastward was better. For me, Death's Door had a really good one that I feel like is underrated. Kena's is really good, too. So there's a lot here that they could have picked. And I feel like it's the freaking Game Awards. They have to go with the big games. They can't give too much. What we saw last year with Hades is a big outlier. You're not going to see that most years. They try to go for the big game because it's what most people have heard of. And if you turn on to the Game Awards, they're going to be like, oh, I know this game, or I've seen this game in a commercial or whatever. If we put a bunch of indie games in here for most of these categories, people are going to be like, what the hell is this? And then they go watch it, or they watch the trailer and be like, oh God, it's this kind of shit again. I don't want that.
Yeah, and but that mentality is like disingenuous.
I hate that. No, I agree with you. I hate that, but this is where this is not so much like everybody says, oh, this is the Oscars of video games. It's not. Because the Oscars tries to actually honor the artsy movies.
The Oscars aren't trying to sell you shit also.
Yeah. Like, so like, this is more like the Golden Globes or the Critics' Choice Awards, or like stuff that's, or almost like the VMAs a little bit too, like I'm trying to show you only the big games for the most part, and then the indie games that really transcend, like Hades, are the ones that get a lot of plaudits. This is a bad time for you to say this when this year has been carried by indie games for the most part, and you're still trying to find all the big games to put in here, and I think it's a bit unfair, but whatever. You know, this is a conversation I think we can have, and it would go on and revert itself, and I think it would kind of get annoying for most people. But yeah, these are fine soundtracks. I just think like there were some better ones that they did not choose here.
Tales, like that's not exactly like an indie game. Like,
yeah, but Tales didn't get anything else, right? Like, it got its category, which thank God they did that at least. Yeah. And that's it, right? So
yeah,
that really goes to show you they only go for certain ones. And I mean, look, I get it that this is supposed to be voted for by a committee of journalists, but I don't really know if there is any kind of thought to this or how much. I know supposedly journalists is like, isn't it like 80-20 or 90-10 or something like that? So, I mean, you're talking about supposedly journalists, right, that are supposed to have played, or all of us that we're supposed to have played a lot more different games throughout the year. Not to say, like, listen, like, you can't enjoy your games or whatever, but that's the problem, is a lot of times people will look at the list of categories, right, or look at the list of games, and they'll start thinking about what comes to their head. They're not, most people are not going to walk into one of these things and have a list in front of them of all the games they played this. They're going to start going by what came into their head for that category. And usually, unfortunately, the big games are what comes into their head. Also, there are a lot of journalists that they play mostly the big games because that's what gets coverage for their website more than the indie titles. Anyway, going beyond that, best audio design, Deathloop, Forza Horizon 5, Ratchet and Clank, RE Village, and Returnal. This is more of like the sound effects, the atmosphere, all that stuff like underneath. It's not just the score and the music. You played pretty much all these games except for Forza. What do you think?
I might actually say Returnal. That or maybe like Resident Evil Village, but both had like good atmospheric, you know, sound design to it. So
yeah, I mean, I'm really loving Forza Horizon, like all the stuff underneath, and it's honestly the only game that I can really talk about here. So for me, I guess Forza Horizon, but I would kind of like to see RE Village win for me personally.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if like maybe Returnal takes this one.
Yeah.
Had
an interesting sound, you know, sound design to it.
Best narrative. This does include games that I have played and then games that I have heard a lot about, like, really I should play. I just got to find a person to play It Takes Two with. You can speak on that. I've heard a lot of things about Life is Strange Two Colors is actually really, really good. You played Deathloop and Psychonauts. I would agree Marvels of the Guardians of the Galaxy should be in here. If there's one category that deserves to be in, it's definitely narrative. What do you think?
I might say Psychonauts 2. Okay. Had a decent story, at least. I mean, I wasn't huge, like, it's not 100% great, because it kind of sidelined, like, Lily, your girlfriend, for, like, a large part of the game. But the story with, like, Raz's family is really interesting and, you know, good.
I would give a shout for Tales of Arise, definitely.
Yeah.
Deserves a shot here, because...
Well, I mean, I would say that, or even, like, Persona 5 Strikers.
I'm surprised that Persona 5 is not in here. I think it's more of the whole, oh, it came out in the early part of the year, and people tend to forget. That's the thing, too.
Yes, as opposed.
If your game comes out, like, before, unless you're a Resident Evil.
If your game comes out before, like, April.
Yeah, Cyberpunk, I don't know what the hell. I think people just, I can't imagine you can't think of a better RPG that came out this year.
No, Cyberpunk came out last year.
Yeah, but they do that, right? Because they cut it off in some day in November.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Cyberpunk was September. Like, that's like.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. They cut it off.
Yeah.
In November of the previous year.
Well, that's. I mean, they kind of have to. Because, like, it's more of a. You have to, like, get a whole bunch of people.
Well, yeah, you can't have people just come in. Can't have people come in, like, one day before the show and go, okay. Here's the y'all, everybody vote, and you know.
Or you can't have a game that goes, oh, we released the game on December 29th, and it's like, oh, it's the best game ever, but it's like, well, that's too late. Sorry.
Yeah, it's too late. I mean, even for most game of the years, anyway, like there's a can't remember which, like, let's say, honestly, for Halo and Final Fantasy XIV's expansion, those are considered late for most people's game of the year. By then, you're already announcing your nominees and everything else, and
I mean, that was Final Fantasy XV's problem, kind of. Because that was, like, that came out, like, the end of November for 2016. And at that point, it's too late, or, you know, almost just about too late.
Exactly. Yeah, and that year, I think they had cut it off by then, for sure. So it was not getting any kind of recognition. And then, of course, I had the problem. But anyway, getting beyond that, I definitely think Tales of Arise deserved a really big shout here for being an RPG of its length and to actually have a story that from beginning to end actually tells a story and doesn't go way off the beaten path and lose itself should be definitely commended for being, because RPGs don't do that. Most of the time RPGs just go whoosh and it becomes all about saving the world and we forget about our main plot like halfway through. And then like what was interesting about the game gets lost to become the normal JRPG.
You're forgetting the other big story-based game this year, Far Cry 6.
Oh yeah, so glad Far Cry 6 at least didn't get plopped in here, for sure. Games for Impact, for me, these are all really good games. I still need to go play No Longer Home, but I've heard a lot of good things. Before Your Eyes is the game that you play by blinking, which is actually really, really cool, the fact that that game was made and gets put out. Unfortunately, not a lot of people have played it, obviously, and it's also stuck on PC, I think.
I mean, I've only heard of two of these games.
Yeah. I mean, Chicory, I love to death, so that will be my Games for Impact for sure, especially because it was, for some reason, not nominated in the other category. Boyfriend Dungeon, I obviously loved as well. Life is Strange Two Colors, like I said, I heard a lot of good things, and No Longer Home, I've also heard a lot of good things as well. I hope Chicory wins this, but I would not be surprised if Life is Strange takes it.
It shouldn't. I mean, no offense to Life is Strange, but like that's the fourth game in a series. Like, how impactful can it be?
But I think it's because hers was emotions, right? So it was a little bit different than, say, the other, her power opposed to the other one. And I'm really upset that frickin' 12 Minutes is in here as best indie game. That game is, it's terrible. It's annoying. The ending is awful. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but it is a terrible ending. I'm sorry. I don't want to find out what I find out in that ending. This is getting nominated because of its voice cast. And if you wanted to put it as best performance or whatever, go ahead, whatever. But best indie game, when there are so many great indie games this year, dang, man. Ugh. Just awful for me. I'm sorry. I know there's people that for some reason like 12 Minutes. That's cool if you did. But for me, I can't stand the fact that it's been nominated here. The other four games, right on. Death Store, amazing. Kena: Bridge of Spirits, really good. I've heard all these things about Loop Hero. I just know that it's not my kind of game, and I'm not going to spend money on it when I know it's not my kind of game. Inscription, I downloaded the demo. I need to play it. I've heard so many people say that they played Inscription, and then all they can do is think about Inscription after they finish playing it. So I'm hoping that some of that sticks with me in the demo, and then I'll figure out if I want to pay the $20 for it or not. I don't know. I don't think you've played any of these.
No.
Okay, so.
I play real games.
Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. Best action game, Back for Blood, Chivalry 2, Deathloop, Returnal, and Far Cry 6. Woo, this category is something. Deathloop's going to win this, I think.
Between this list, it should.
I mean, if you're going to put in the game of the year and not the other game that's here, I think you kind of need to win your category, right?
Nah, not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily, but you're supposed to.
I would say, well, I don't know, Deathloop or Returnal would be good ones.
Go ahead.
Back for Blood is kind of the weird, odd choice in this one for me, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's in Best Multiplayer as well, but technically it is an action game. It just, I feel like it just came out and it went off a cliff, but, you know, like... Also, I think it's because the beta came out, people were playing in the beta, then when it came out, it was kind of like, all right, it's there, and then I just didn't hear much about it after. But normally, games like that, you're hearing a lot of people talk about it, not for this. Best action adventure game, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Metroid Dread, Ratchet & Clank, Psychonauts 2, RE Village. I'm going to say Metroid is going to win this, but obviously my pick will be Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I could see Resident Evil Village, actually.
Yeah, I could see that, too. I'm just saying I would hope Metroid.
I think Metroid has a little stink on it just because of the stupid emi sections. Like, people really didn't like that crap.
Yeah.
But that's the only, like, real negative for that game.
Yeah, whereas RE Village, everybody seems to like all the sections, regardless of how different they are. You didn't have much negativity about the game, honestly. So
yeah,
that could definitely pull it through here. Best RPG.
Oh, for best, I would say for best action, I'd actually put Persona 5 Strikers, though. Like I said, you know.
Yeah, best action adventure. Yeah.
Or just best action. I mean, it's, you know, Dynasty Warriors, but it's good. So
mm-hmm. That's true. I definitely think Death Store is a shout for best action adventure game. It's definitely one of the best games of this year for me, and should be in more categories than just indie game, folks. But whatever, it is what it is. Best RPG. Oh my God, why? Cyberpunk 2077, Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, Tales of Horizon, Shin Megami Tensei 5. That game literally just came out like 4 days ago, but it's in here. Okay.
Yeah. So what's the cutoff point with this year?
Everybody probably has had this game for a while. I'm gonna imagine if you're one of the big influencers or big websites.
Not that.
Considering. I'd imagine they've at least had it for 2 weeks before the release date, because the previews started coming out around then.
Yeah.
So, and then the review cycle, I think, was like a week before the game. So, I don't know exactly when they did this, but I imagine now that most of the stuff was probably done like remotely, it's not people going into some thing and wherever it is that Keeley does this and had them all come to an event to do the voting. They all probably did it at home. This recency thing, I think, is going to be an even bigger thing for this year.
I mean, Tails, that should win.
Yeah, Tails should win. Tails should win. It better win.
Tails should win. I could see Monster Hunter Rise winning.
I could see that too.
Just because people are idiots.
Scarlet
Nexus is kind of weird. Cause is that an RPG?
It has RPG elements, but it's more of an action game.
Yeah, you know.
It's much more of an action game. You do gain levels and things like that, but it's not a RPG in the sense like Tales of Arise. So, yeah.
Look forward to next year when they have this category, and it's going to be Skyrim.
Yeah.
Special edition or whatever.
Oh, well, no, it'll be, what is it, the Starfield.
No, it won't.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, that's the release date, right, that they're trying to hit. So, best fighting game. Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles, Guilty Gear Strive, you reviewed that game, you liked that game, Multi-Blood Type Lumina, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, and Ultimate Fighter V Showdown. It's not a great year for fighting games. Strive, I think. I just don't think anything outside of Strive would win. And I haven't heard no one talk about Demon Slayer at all. That game came out and whoosh, gone.
I haven't heard of three of these games. The only one I've heard of was Nickelodeon one.
I don't. Melty Blood is probably like one of those, like, if you're really hardcore into fighting games, you know about it. And Ultimate Fighter V Showdown came out as a PS Plus game. There's that. Best family game, Mario Party Superstars, It Takes Two, New Pokemon Snap, World War, Get It Together, and New Super Mario Brothers and Bowser's Fury. I really hope It Takes Two wins this. If it at least deserves one award, man, that game is great.
I have no idea why New Super Mario Brothers plus Bowser's Fury is on this list.
Can you even play that co-op?
It has like a two-player mode, where I think the second player is like kind of just like a helper, but it's just so weird. I mean, yeah, It Takes Two all the way.
Yeah, I guess they had to find the one Nintendo game hadn't been nominated yet. Let's put it in here. All right, cool.
Super Mario Bros. Has like the four-player mode, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, that's not, it's never been good.
Age of Empires 4, best strategy game. Sorry, by the way. Age of Empires 4, Evil Genius 2, World Domination. That's just now hitting Game Pass, and I feel like it's day and date. What the heck? Humankind, Inscription, and Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yes. The strategy game of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
I don't know why this. What? Like, did we just not have a?
Well, there's no flight sim category, so like, my build queue is full of 747s. I mean, I would say for this one,
Age of Empires probably gonna win. Age of Empires probably gonna win.
I would say that or Inscription. Inscription does have a pretty good amount of buzz, but I just haven't played it, so
yeah. It's crazy. It's just crazy to me. We had to shoehorn this game in here. I don't know why. Flight Simulator. Best sports racing game. This is basically the Forza Horizon 5 category. Because it's going to win.
It's not going to be FIFA 22?
FIFA 22 is good.
See, they need to have like a best simulation category. And then you could have like Flight Simulator versus Forza.
Technically, versus... they can put that in as a sports game as well, right? Because most of these sports games are simulation. I've heard good things about Hot Wheels.
Yeah, good arcade game.
And I've actually heard decent things about Riders Republic. It's just apparently it tries to be...
it's an Ubisoft game. Like,
too cool for its own good or whatever. But I think...
Did you see the... this was a while ago. Did you see the Kotaku thing about Riders Republic? It has, like, some folk version of Gangster's Paradise in it.
Oh, Lord.
And, like, the third person was like, what the fuck is this? Like, they record, like, a video of, like, them just, standing still listening to this, like, folksy version of Gangster's Paradise sung by this, woman. And it's like, what is going on in this game?
Okay, we gotta start. Well, we're almost at the end, but I actually have to go pick up my daughter in about 30 minutes, so we're gonna have to go through this here. Best game direction, Psychonauts 2, Deathloop, Returnal, It Takes Two, and Ratchet and Clank. Yeah, Deathloop's probably gonna win. Even though I give a shot to It Takes Two, because that's not easy to make a co-op game like that and make it so different each level you go through and everything else, and then have the story on top of it and all that. I mean, there could be other games that could be in this category as well. This is one of those, like, really broad categories. And then we get Game of the Year. Deathloop, Metroid Dread, It Takes Two, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, RE Village.
I would say RE Village.
How do you feel about the list, and how do you feel about... Is there a game that you really feel like got some... Like, I feel like Forza Horizon is very interesting that it was not nominated at all, but...
People seem to not like that Returnal's not on this list. I couldn't really give a toss. For me, it'd just be Tales of Arise, because I really did like that game.
I would agree. Tales of Arise is my game of the year right now. I don't know that anything's going to beat it with what's coming out. As much as I love Halo, unless the campaign just absolutely floors me, which I don't think it will, it's still Halo. Tales of Arise is still my leader right now.
I'd say mine too, probably. Like, I really did like that one. Which is, like, funny, because I didn't like the Tales game, where I don't typically like that franchise.
Yeah, but I think it's just the sum of all of its parts. It's just, it's a really well done, if not possibly, in the running for the best Tales game ever. And that's a lot, considering how long that series has been around, 25 years, you know. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. Definitely a lot of different games here. So I give him that he did provide a lot of different games. But I think it was always going to be Ratchet and Clank over Returnal. It has more of that broad cachet. Returnal is very niche, very gamer-centric, you know. So, you know, then we've also got Microsoft doing their year, their 20th year anniversary, which, again, was very cool that they did this, and they had various things going on here. The first thing they announced was a 6-part documentary of basically like the beginning of Xbox to right now, which I love documentaries, so I'm totally down them doing something like this.
Yeah.
We'll probably review it here when it comes out. I don't know if it's going to come out like little by little, or they're going to have it all come out at once on December 13th. I guess we'll see it seems like it's all coming out at once.
Yeah, I'd assume so.
So that's cool. They also showed literally a snippet of, I forgot who the heck's playing Master Chief.
Schreiber.
Oh, Liev Schreiber?
No, Pablo.
Pablo, Schreiber. That's right. Pablo
his Schreiber. Half-brother. I like that actor quite a bit. So he's like the kind of the reason I want to see this show.
But, I mean, you're not really seeing him, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, I like the actress playing Halsey as well.
So, yeah, you got to basically see Master Chief putting on his helmet. And then they announced that it's coming to Paramount Plus, which is good, because I did not want to have a Showtime subscription have that.
That's been on like three. Cool. That's moved around like three different times so far. It's like hysterical.
Yes, but good to see that it is coming out on Paramount Plus. The big thing that come out of this, well, two big things. Obviously, the thing was it sucked because it's got leaked that Halo's multiplayer beta, which I will go on the record to say that I did say they would probably release this by itself. And some people at the Outer Haven were like, no, they're not going to do that. That's terrible. How would they release this? It's free to play, folks. You don't need this to play their other parts of Halo. So, they released it by itself. It's technically a beta until December 8th, but you can actually download the whole game, and then you actually have to go through the menu and hit multiplayer, and it's there. And you can actually play the Academy part, so I play the tutorial section and everything.
People aren't happy with the Battle Pass. That's about
it. Yeah, I've heard that, too. The Battle Pass apparently has a very slow progression. course, the game hasn't released yet. This is what a beta is for, so they can actually go and tweak that before the game comes out. But the other one is the 76 new backward-compatible titles that were added to the series, well basically all the Xbox One and series consoles. This is the final one. Apparently, they're not going to add any more. So this is it. I'm not going through this whole list. It's huge ass. It's big list. It's cool to see all the Dead Alives on there. I'm a big fan of that fighting game series, so that's cool. If I ever wanted to go back and pick those games back up. I'm guessing this also means they're going to be available digitally, and that's why they're not.
Some are. I think like the one that people are kind of questioning is 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. It's not available digitally yet, at least.
Yeah, it may take a while for some of these to show up. It's not going to, you know, immediate for something. All of this is a lot of games. It's cool to see the Atogi series get its due. I think that's one that people have really been asking for. So
I played those.
Yeah, some of the Star Wars games on here, you know, Starfighter, the Fear franchise, all the Max Paynes, which people have really been asking for as well.
The funny one to me is Gun Valkyrie, because that's like a really interesting but bad Sega game.
Yeah, Vandalhearts getting in here as well. So that was kind of cool that you added that. But you can go look at the list. I'm sure there will still be games that you really wanted to be on here and are not, and I'm sorry for those folks.
Like Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah, I'm really surprised with their thing with Sega that, you know, they have this big partnership with Sega now that they don't.
I imagine that game, the soundtrack is the issue at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine, like, bringing in that game and then, like, you have to go and put in a bunch of...
Put in Rob Zombie's Dracula. Three
tracks that, but no, it's just like there's no point almost to that game if you don't have the soundtrack. That's kind of what makes it, you know. So, Phil Spencer had a few things to say here about Game Pass being sustainable. Obviously, Sean Layden and some other folks have come out recently and said that they don't understand how Game Pass can be sustainable with the model that it has. This is not the first time this has been a thing. He didn't say like how many subscribers they have right now, anything like that. He basically says that, hey, we're doing the math, and we think that eventually Game Pass will be absolutely fine, but right now it is sustainable, he says. And actually, it's Sarah Bond had an interview where she said that apparently Game Pass was going to be a rental service.
Yeah.
Because when they originally were pitching it, Gaines made most of their sales within the first 2 months. And then since that, they've had a lot of information that comes out because of sales and everything else. That actually you're actually seeing games have a sale time of 2 years, actually. So that's actually good for gaming. That's good to see that even a game that's 2 years old, because of a sale, can make people actually pick it up, buy it, and play it. So that's why sales are good. People complain about sales, but, sales like, oh, well, damn, I paid $60 for this game and now it's 40 in like 2 months. Well, hey, again, nobody made you have to buy that game, you know, when it first came out. So that's on you. I don't ever feel bad for people that buy the game because they want a pre-order, which that's not bad either. And then, oh man, it showed up on PS Plus. Crap. Like, well, you wanted to buy the game, so go for it, I guess. Speaking of sales, some interesting games are going to be on a big sale here at Walmart. I don't know if other places are going to be joining in with that.
I know Target and Best Buy are doing, you know, and Amazon probably as well.
Yeah, they're probably doing similar sales. Now, these are physical versions of the game. This is not digital. Obviously, Sony and Microsoft will do their own. They always do, but they usually don't match this. Usually, when a retailer has sales for these games, they're either like Microsoft's or Sony's is usually like it's not the same games, or they're not as low. Because they don't.
Oh, yeah,
because
retailers are trying to blow it out.
Yeah, yeah, retailers are going to get pissed if they do this. But Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, Resident Evil Village, Sonic Colors Ultimate, the Marvel Spider-Man's Game of the Year Edition, all on here, the Crash and Spyro games. This is for $20, by the way. So that's a pretty good deal for Resident Evil Village, Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, all that. And then Outriders as well. On this, as far as like really new games going, and Super Monkey Ball Manamania for $25. This is where I mentioned this is getting a sale. You might want to go and pick this up. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, $25.
Yeah,
for Black Friday. Go pick it up, people. Go pick it up. Deathloop as well. Go pick it up. Riders of the Republic, Back for Blood, Monster Hunter Rise, Mass Effect, the Legendary Edition, Final Fantasy Resident Evil, or Final Fantasy VII Remake. This is without the Yuffie DLC, though, so, you know.
Yeah, it's that's plus all, PS4 version.
Yeah, it's already been out. It's already been on this kind of set before, so that's not really that big a thing. And then some other games that are a bit older, the No More Combat 11 Ultimate Edition, worth noting as well. For $26, FIFA 22, all the Madden, NBA, FIFA, NHL, that's a damn good price for all those. Definitely worth picking up if you're a sports fan. And then, yeah, if you're wanting to get like the limited edition, ones, I think, I don't know why Marvel's is on here twice. I don't know if that's the special edition or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Or it might be the PS5 and Xbox Series edition. Far Cry 6 is also going to be there for $35. So if you want to get that, you can do that as well. And also, apparently, as if you didn't know already, Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be exclusive to Xbox. Did you really think they were going to not make it exclusive? And this is his definitive thing about this. It's not about punishing any other platform. Like, I fundamentally believe all the platforms continue to grow. But in order to be on Xbox, I want us to be able to bring the full complete package of what we have. And that would be true when I think about Elder Scrolls 6. So, and that would be true when I think about any of our other franchises. I mean, again, you can be mad about it. But what would be the point of even having Game Pass if you can go buy, you know, Starfield, Elder Scrolls 6 on a PlayStation? So, and then, really quick, the NPD for this year, the Switch is back on top as far as hardware goes. As far as the, NPD goes, Far Cry 6 is number one. You get Back for Blood, number two, Metroid Dread, number three, Demon Slayer sold really well at five. Madden's still up there, FIFA's still up there, Marvel's Guardians comes in at 7. I wonder if this is where Square Enix is gonna start talking a bunch of junk because they weren't number one, or something like that. Even though they had a ton of competition in October. I mean, come on. That's really hard to complain about when you got all that competition and then just rounding it out. The NHLs and NBA 2Ks and all that stuff are in there. Like any thoughts? I mean, I'm not surprised that Far Cry 6 is the leader. Metroid Dread apparently is like doubling any of the other Metroid sales.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty much outsold the entire franchise. And it's like, well,
that's
yeah.
really great to see. I'm really happy to see that, honestly, because people are always saying, oh man, people don't buy Metroid games and all this stuff. And this is why Nintendo takes their time to not come out with one. And so cool to see that people yeah. are actually buying them. Yep. So then we get into some weird stuff with Take-Two. GTA Remastered Collection, folks. I'm sure you've heard of it by now. This trilogy definitive edition. Not so definitive. The graphics look better, but man, it looks awful on Switch. The PC version had problems, including the hot coffee mod is still in there. And then also yeah. it had files in there that...
Well, it had the whole soundtrack. Yeah. like, yeah. It's just disabled by some like script. This thing is like reaching like cyberpunk levels of... Well, not as bad as that yet, but it's like, what's going on here? Not working correctly, or there's bugs and glitches and crap like that.
To be fair, GTA games usually always have bugs, at least the ones from back in the day.
But, not to this point, or like
yeah,
level.
Not to this extent, but it's like weird that you call it a definitive edition,
and it's like
and
the
it
worst
really doesn't
version.
Feel yeah, it's not a great version. I mean, you can tell that they did some changes, right? You can see the hands, you can see all that stuff, but it's just like not the way that it runs, and not the way that you really want it to come out if you've been hyping.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't really do a big hype cycle for this. And they just said, oh, hey, it's coming out this day because they knew that it wasn't.
And there were also no review copies.
Yeah. But I mean, I wonder if people really wanted to go back and review.
I think if it was good, they would. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I guess. But I mean, like, I don't know that people want to really go back and review those, you know. And there was an Assassin's Creed writer that came back.
One of the various
Bobby McDevitt, he's left earlier this year and has now come back. I feel like it would have been a bigger deal if you're going to say that he was involved for, what, Revelations, Black Flag, Unity, Origins, and Valhalla. Pretty big list there.
Yeah, the more recent ones.
I mean, it would make sense if you're going to have a lot more story to write, try to get somebody back from,
yeah.
right?
Not the original guy, but he's up there.
Yeah, definitely. And just because... You know, we need to talk about this because it's Dragon Ball. We usually always talk about when they come out with a game, whatever. But this one kind of came out of nowhere here. of Dragon Ball The Breakers. Dragon Ball The Breakers is a 7v1 game. Who thought we'd have a Dragon Ball 7v1 game? So I don't know if there's going to be like Frieza or Majin Buu or other people added, but the trailer is focusing on Cell, and like there's Goku and Bulma and forgot Oolong. The name the Oolong. They're the main ones that they focus on here. I mean, I guess like
I mean it's a problem because like these games never work. These asymmetrical.
I mean, there are ones that do work, like, but it's very small compared to, you know. Okay, so never mind. I'm wrong. Yes, you can choose to either be Cell, Buu, or Frieza, or you can be one of the survivors. You know, would be the main Dragon Ball characters, which I'm sure they will add more as time goes on. Because this is the way Bandai Namco loves to do it. They want to make you buy a bunch of DLC packs and everything. You basically have to find the Super Time Machine to escape the realm. And this is coming to everything, even the Switch. I'd love to know how that's going to run on the Switch.
About as well as GTA Vice, or, you know, Remaster.
Like, my God, really, you couldn't skip the Switch. I mean, like, I know that you're going to want to sell the people on the Switch, but it's like, I don't know if this is a game that you really want coming out on that kind of platform. It's really going to be not the version to buy, considering Nintendo's online system, and then also that. So, yeah. I mean, you do have Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th. Dead by Daylight is still great. It's really the one shining light that continues to exist. Friday the 13th was fine until they ran out of content. But outside of that, there really hasn't been a lot, you know, so.
What about Evolve?
Oh, well, you know, we know how that ends. That's why they're working on that. But, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people will be talking about it. It's just weird. Like, it's weird that we have decided to go and make this. And this be a thing that we're having come out next year. But at okay, least Bandai.
It's something unique. It's not like, oh, it's not Jump Force 2 or Kakarot 2. Like,
yeah. At least, yeah. But like we saw that with that like trading, that card game that they came out with, right, too, where it came out and are there people that really play that at all? Like, I feel like it came out and then no one talked about it. So.
I mean, you can say that about any other card game except for Magic.
Well, no, but it's just like, it didn't even develop some kind of, cause there's some, well, the thing is now there's card games that use card mechanics, like let's say Inscription or Slay the Spire or whatever, you know, and those get talked about because they have other game mechanics, but ones that are only like really card games, right? They, you know, they're happening. So, yeah. But all right, I'm going to be going here to go pick up my daughter here. So that will be it for this show. If you like what you hear, you can always, you know, subscribe and everything else. Until next time.
Later.
Thank you for listening and watching. I'll see you later.